Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Broadcasting today from Studio A.
Hello and welcome to Private Officer. Glad that you are with us on the WPOI Radio Network. Here on this Monday, the 30th of September, the month is completely kaput, over, done with. In just about 5 hours, we'll be into October, as fall is in full swing. Beautiful weather. Love the fall, love the cool evenings, and of course the leaves, the changing of the colors. Love the drives through the mountains. I'm your host for the radio program, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. And I'm back in the office this week after having been on the road for some time, and we'll be telling you about that coming up here shortly. But it's good. It's always good to be back in the office, always good to be back home and to sleep in your own bed, you know. I love being on the road, but you know what they say, there's no place like home. So we are happy to be with you tonight, broadcasting live from our studio in our Charlotte, North Carolina office. Brett Davis, my sidekick here, of course, as always, and you sitting there, wherever you might be, at home or in the office, at work. We're so glad that you are with us tonight, wherever you might be. Also, I do want to say this program is brought to you by one of our new sponsors, On Guard Insurance. Go to our website at privateofficer.com, click on their large banner ad, and check them out, On Guard. They are definitely a great insurance provider for the security industry. They cover both private security agencies, investigators, and alarm installers. Check them out online at OnGuardIns.com today. I'm sure that you'll be happy with not only their services, but their prices. Check them out at OnGuardIns.com. All right, tonight we want to talk. We have a lot, of course, to speak about because last week we did a memorial service in place of our regularly scheduled radio program, which is okay. I mean, we needed to do that, and of course we want to do that kind of thing. But there's always a lot to talk about, and tonight is no exception. We have a lot of news items, but I really want to discuss something that was sent out earlier today from my office about handcuffing and false arrest, detention, that kind of thing. And I'll get to that in just a moment. I want to say thank you, a big thank you, to all of the people across the country who made our memorial services a success this year, better than expected, definitely better than expected. And we have a lot of people to thank. We'll be sending out personal letters next week. We'll also be sending out some certificates to law enforcement and others who assisted in providing the services, the honor guards, and all the other things that it took to get those services, going. We definitely have a great membership, and sometimes we just don't acknowledge or thank you guys enough. But of course, we definitely appreciate everything that you all did. We will. We have already posted some photos and video on Facebook, Twitter, and the POI forums from the memorial services, and also from the private security and special police officer who was killed in the line of duty last, I guess it's been a week and a half now. at the Naval Yard. He was buried over the weekend and given a full law enforcement honor funeral, complete with bagpipe and law enforcement salute and so forth. We posted some of those pictures in our newsletter, on our website, and also on the forum. So if you haven't seen them yet, you might want to check those out, because I thought that was very fitting, and it went right along with what we did with the memorial service. We have a lot of great things going on and a lot of stuff to offer, as we often say, and unfortunately, it's hard to get out to the masses. We really need for you to participate from whatever level that you can. I often give this analogy or example that if a chef has, a great restaurant, great food, is in a great location, but he doesn't do any advertising, and he always depends on word of mouth. And if the people who love his food the most don't speak up, don't tell their friends and their family about the restaurant, about the great food, about this, fantastic chef, then he'll be out of business before he can, think twice about it. As well as POI has done in the last 10 years, which, by the way, we're celebrating 10 years coming up in less than a couple of months, and we're very excited about that. We've got a lot of things planned. But unless our consumers, our members, the people who use our newsletters and website and training and so forth, unless they spread the word, unless they get out there and tell their coworkers and hound their friends and their bosses and so forth, then we're only as good as, what we are today, because our growth depends on the way that it's marketed, and we can only do so much marketing, and we really need for you folks to step up. And I'm going to tell you a few more things about that later on in the program, but we just got carried away with that. But we really are excited about all the things coming up with POI, all the things happening, and I'll be telling you about that in just a few moments. But if you haven't already seen our newsletter, which comes out 5 days a week, they don't send it out on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, they kind of take the day off, more or less. I mean, there is someone always monitoring the news. But check out the newsletter if you have not seen it, because I think it's getting pretty cool. I think it's looking pretty good, and definitely as professional as any others out there. And we're using the newsletter to really put a lot of different information out there, training videos, photos. Hey, did you see that photo? I think there was a photo. Let me go back here and look. But I think there was a photo in today's edition of a little mini police car, or actually it was being sold as a security patrol and police car. Let me check here. I think it was there. I think there was a copy there. But it was a nano car, and it was Nope, wasn't in today's issue. It's going to be in tomorrow's, actually. Whoops, I just blew the cover on that, huh? All right, make believe I didn't tell you. Shh, don't tell our people. I didn't tell you. But be sure to check out Tuesday's edition of the POI newsletter, because there's some pretty cool pictures of a vehicle that was from a car show. That's all I can tell you about that. I slipped up a little bit. That happens when you're the boss and you're not, communicating with everybody. I thought it went out in today's edition. Sorry. All right, let's move on. All right, I do want to mention, again, about an article that was sent out earlier today. I did write it, and it was well-received, but we always get people who delete their email subscriptions or addresses from our news system when these kind of things go out. But there was an article that was sent out today about unlawful detentions, handcuffs, which have led to more security officer arrests. There were some confusion, and there always seems to be a little confusion when we send out things, but I just want to clarify what I was saying and why I was saying it. And it's really pretty simple. And there's been a number of security officers arrested through the years, even earlier this year, because they overstepped their bounds. And sometimes it's, you know, it's like that training that I did both on one of my programs last year, as well as in a seminar event. You know, security officers, good intentions, bad decisions. And unfortunately, several security officers, again, had to face, you know, being arrested over the weekend because they meant well, but they just made bad decisions. And so I'm going to read part of this article. If you haven't already seen it, you should definitely sign up for our newsletters and our email broadcast because there's a lot of good information. Of course, we have a lot of news. We also have some training. This article is considered training to some degree. And we also have a lot of, you know, officer down, officer deaths, shooting, all kinds of good things that are not only informative but educational. In fact, a lot of training schools use our material in their classes. So very quickly, again, several security officers arrested because they kind of overstepped the bounds. Now, this article is mentions unlawful detentions, handcuffs lead to more arrests, and several people thought I meant, well, they can't use handcuffs, they can't detain, or they can't use force or whatever. And again, that's not what was said and that's not what was meant. So let me re-clarify and reiterate what the facts are. And again, despite some security schools teaching that security officers can use handcuffs to detain somebody for investigative purposes, that's not true. Private, non-sworn security officers who have no arrest authority, who are not police officers, cannot use force or handcuffs to bring a person into compliance just to question them. For instance, if a person was found on the second floor of an office building and you asked them who they were and they were hesitant, that doesn't authorize you to handcuff them. And I know that the movies and cops and other shows often portray officers who slap the cuffs on someone while they are investigating whether or not a crime had been committed. And that's all well and good, even though that is kind of a gray area as well, even for law enforcement. But they are law enforcement. With private security, you can only use force or restraints to bring a person in compliance when you are effecting a lawful arrest or in the absence of the authority to make an arrest, whether as a private person or a sworn peace officer, a lawful detention. In other words, you can use force and handcuffs to detain someone or arrest them if it's a lawful arrest, but not just because the person will not identify themselves, will not tell you that they live there or they work there or identify themselves. There's no statute in any state that I'm aware of that says a person must comply with your request for identification. In fact, in most states, they don't even have to surrender identification to police for investigative purposes unless, you know, they've been arrested. Security officers must have reasonable cause to force compliance for any criminal offense, but cannot detain or restrain a person for property rule or civil violations. And we preach about this, and we preach about this, and we teach about it. There's a big difference between somebody committing a crime on your property and committing a rule violation. A rule violation is not a criminal offense. For instance, you have somebody who is, you know, on the property who lives there, but they're trespassing, they're hanging out, they're loitering at the playground of the apartment complex. You tell them to go back inside their apartment and they don't comply with you, that is not grounds for detention or force. It's not grounds for handcuffing, detaining. You might not be happy with them not respecting you, but unfortunately you have no lawful legal reason to use force to detain, handcuff, or otherwise force them into compliance with your demands. Private security officers may detain, they may arrest in almost all states for misdemeanors or felonies. In a few states, it's only for felonies, and that's why it's very important that you understand the law. But in no state, not one single state, can a security or even a law enforcement officer use any type of force, restraint, or detention to make that person comply with a civil demand regarding a civil violation. Such as, you know, you have a person who's sitting on the steps in an apartment complex. You clearly know he lives there. You've had other run-ins or reference with him, or he identifies himself to the point where you clearly understand and know that he has a legal right to be on the property, and he refuses to move off the steps. You do not have a crime at that point. You might not be happy. He might be disrespectful. You might try to escalate that to a disorderly conduct, but you don't have a crime. He's not a trespasser. He lives there. So it's very important you understand when to use force and when to detain, how much force you need to use to bring that person into compliance, and, of course, never, never detain, handcuff, or use force for any civil violation or rural property violation. You may use force to detain or arrest someone in a lawful situation, such as a true trespasser. 3 o'clock in the morning, you are on duty at a auto body shop that's closed. No one is supposed to be there whatsoever, and you find a person out in the parking lot. Yes, he is a trespasser. You don't even have to double guess yourself. There is no doubt about it. He does not belong. I don't care if he's an employee. I don't care if he's a manager. He doesn't belong on the property at 3 a.m. He is considered a suspect of trespassing at the bare minimum, probably burglary, and you may use force to detain him. You may arrest him. You may use force to bring him into compliance as long as it's a lawful arrest. As I explained in my email earlier today, more than 1.8 million such arrests and detentions were made last year by private security and loss prevention. So to avoid, I mean, security, it is part of security officers these days, their duties and responsibilities to make arrests, detentions, and to go hands-on with people. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying make sure you know when and to what extent. We must have parameters. We must have good training in place. We must have rules and regulations for our personnel in place so that they know who, what, where, how much. They should also know, if they are allowed to make a detention, how long they should hold the person before calling law enforcement. How long should they hold the person after they've called law enforcement and they've had no speedy reply? In other words, you called police an hour ago and they still haven't arrived and you've got somebody handcuffed for a very minor crime. Well, I personally would try to ID him, you know, notify law enforcement, see what their ETA is, and if they can't tell me, that person might go free, unless it's a very serious felony such as burglary or, you know, felony theft or assault weapons or things of that nature. In general, we are, you know, our profession, private security, we are becoming more enforcers than observers. So in order to prevent unnecessary litigation, employee arrest, injuries to the offender or the officer, we really need to stress training and supervision of our staff and education of our clients. we're definitely going to continue making those apprehensions. We're definitely going to make those arrests. We're definitely going to have to use force from time to time. But the whole, bottom line of this article and the whole bottom line of tonight is to let you know, to be sure you know how, when, and what your limits are.
34, be advised, 933, please, and associate with the suspect and the victim. This, West.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
vest, I'll be flanked.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over. When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
That PSA was sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation. Wow, can you believe that there's a big possibility of complete, total government shutdown again? Now, some of you may not be old enough to remember 1995. And I know I'm dating myself, but I do remember. And I wasn't just a kid. I was a little bit older than that. Not much older, but I do remember all of the headache, the nightmare, the pain and suffering that it caused, not only the employees of the government, but the people who, us, we the people who expect those services to continue day in and day out. And I don't think that Americans as a whole realize the effect that it will have on basic services. I mean, my gosh, I live close to a number of state and federal parks, and I enjoy getting out there. The Blue Ridge Parkway is not too far, and it's a beautiful, beautiful road to travel between North Carolina and Virginia in the mountains, especially this time of year. The leaves are changing. But if government shuts down tonight at midnight, all U.S. parks will also shut down. Many medical services for the elderly will stop. Some very basic public safety needs will continue, but a lot of services and departments, more than 900,000 government workers will be unemployed. Yeah, that's just what we need. Just what we need is another almost million people out of work. Yep. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't understand how, politicians who they basically have it made. Most of, congressional legislators and senators, they're coming from a decent background, so they're making money. Oh, and get this. I also heard in the news today that the checks for many people will stop, but the checks for Congress, Senate, and the president, they will continue. They'll get their check without any interruption. Par for course. I mean, just kind of ticks me off. If you're a government worker, a federal worker, I just hope that it doesn't happen. America is just starting to get back into shape. We don't need any more crisis like this happening at this hour, at this stage of our country trying to get up back on their feet, after these 3 or 4 years of economical hardships. But we'll see. We'll see. I want to also mention a couple of other quick items here. If you are in the Virginia, D.C., or Maryland area, the D.C., Virginia, or Maryland area, please send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have several issues that we are working on in the tri-state metro D.C. area. Some of them are concerning special police. Some of them are concerning law enforcement and security relationship, and we really need to hear from as many people working in that area as possible because we want to address these situations head on, and I need to gather some information to do this in a informed manner and not just go hot-headed into a meeting. So I'm trying to gather as much information as possible. If you could email us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com with a name, email, and phone number, we'd like to get in touch with you and ask a few questions about your experiences in that area. Also, coming up in just a few weeks, we are going to begin holding a number of security summits, and I'm pretty excited about that because, you know, I love to travel. I do. I love to travel. After 3 or 4 weeks, though, it's time to come home, get a little, R&R at the house, and then hit the road again. But we are going to be holding two-day security summits. We are already in communication with several vendors, and the way that this will work is that vendors, we hope to get 10 to 50 vendors per event. Those vendors will consist of insurance companies, uniform providers, and other products and services consumed or used by private security, law enforcement, loss prevention, public safety, so forth. What we will do is we will charge them floor space or booth space as with any conference or convention. And in doing this, the security summit, the two-day event, will be free to all persons attending. It doesn't matter if they're POI member or not. Right now we have a number of locations verified and selected, and we're working to recruit those vendors. But if you are interested, you're a security director, an owner of a company, it doesn't matter if you're in Florida, Timbuktu, preferably in the U.S., because otherwise we'd have to charge you, a substantial amount of money if you wanted us to go to Timbuktu. But we'll go. But if you are in the U.S., we'd like to hear from you. Send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you're an owner of a security company, a manager, you're an LP director or whatever, these two-day events, and I don't have the information in front of me, and I apologize for that because I had 100,000 things going on today, and I just forgot to put that in front of me. Do you have it, Brett? We're getting it for you. But those 2 days will have blocks of training. I know one is on use of force, and that training will consist of mainly classroom but a little hands-on. Also, several hours of law as it pertains to private security, workplace violence. Let me see. Thank you, sir. All right, use of force. Which is a four-hour block, domestic and workplace violence, law as it pertains to private security, both criminal and civil, also constructing a report. Many people struggle with writing reports, even though they do it day in and day out. And we already have two different instructors lined up outside of our association and school. And we have several others that are interested in participating. So I really believe that this is going to be a great event. It's not limited to location. It's not limited to just a POI member. We're going to open it up to everyone, and this will kind of take the place of a national conference. We'd love to hold a national conference, but you know. Unfortunately, private security officers just don't have the funding to do that. I'm being told that use of force, active shooter, workplace violence, criminal and civil law, report writing, two-day event with vendors and a food court. And I'm not sure the extent of the food. I know that we're planning on having some snacks and drinks available throughout both days, and I believe we're making preparation for pizza vendor or Subway or something like that. So don't get your hopes up. We're not going to have steak. This isn't a big banquet, but we will have some type of food court with several options for you. We'll be telling you more about this in the upcoming days and weeks, but we plan on getting this kicked off hopefully the first one around the 1st of November, another one or two in December, and probably through the early part of 2014. And you know, if it works, well, good, we'll repeat it again. But as I said earlier on in the program, we have a lot of great services already, a lot of things that we provide. But if our consumers are not buying, if our consumers are not partaking, you know, there's only so much that we can do. And that's one of the reasons why we're not charging. We're not charging because I know a lot of people can't afford it. So we're hoping to be able to at least balance it out by charging the vendors for their space, which is normal and, you know, standard protocol. We'll be right back after this message.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit Wounded Warrior.
27
Object, Alta Vista, Santa Cruz, Sierra, Austin, Virginia.
1-834-BA-533,
please send a
social with the suspect and the victim. West. HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com. 27
All right, you are back with us here on the Private Officer Beat and the WPOI Radio Network. Be sure to check out OnGuardINS.com. They are a great insurance company, one of our new sponsors. My understanding, and we have used them, my understanding is they offer really great insurance rates, and they have a full line of products for private security, private investigators, and alarm installers. So, you know, if you want to change or you are in the need of, or you're just curious whether or not they can beat the current price that you're paying, call them up today. Check them out online. Go to our website. You can connect right there from our website at privateofficer.com. And, again, we have used them. They, you know, they've got some good products and some good pricing, and I think that you'll be happy with them as well. OnGuardINS.com, or check them out right from our own website at privateofficer.com, and I think that you're going to be happy with the pricing, with the pricing. All right, we're talking a little bit tonight about some of the issues. That private security faces, you know, we're talking about really the changes happening within our industry and how we need to come together as a brotherhood, a sisterhood, as, and really begin to gel together. That's something I miss. I have to be honest with you, and I know I've said this at least 1,000 times, but it's something I miss, being in the private sector as opposed to public sector of law enforcement. You know, cops may hate each other. Don't think that for a minute everybody is hunky-dory, lovey-lovey all the time. And there are officers who totally dislike people on their own department. And I was talking with someone today in Virginia about how one agency has no respect for another. And that's true. It happens more times than you can imagine. But let a call go out, officer down, or officer needs assistance. And it's a different story. All of that, all of those hard feelings, all those, you know, all that disrespect, all of that, you know, we don't get along, no longer applies. If you've ever watched any, you know, Hill Street Blues or NYPD Blue or any of those cop shows, and they portray when an officer is killed. In fact, I just watched, I guess it was Friday, the new season of Blue Bloods. Great show, by the way. And an officer was killed in the line of duty there. Everybody, and I mean everybody, responds to those calls. When, and the same thing in the fire and the EMS business. But when an officer or a firefighter or another public safety professional is injured, they don't even have to be killed, just injured, and they're rushed to the hospital. If you've never been in the middle of this, then you have no clue as to what I'm about to tell you. But everyone comes together. And when you arrive at the hospital, 20, 30, 50, 100 people from the department and departments surrounding are already there. When you go to the funeral, you've seen them on TV. You have seen them in the paper. You have seen them probably in your neighborhood, in your city. Funerals for law enforcement and firefighters, they give 100% support, regardless of whether or not they like the agency, the officer involved, none of that matters. And we are in a situation, folks, we're in a situation where we need, we must form that bond and begin to think like that. Contract security agencies are very competitive, and some don't like the other because of what they've done and the contracts they stole and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I understand. Same thing with police departments. Just watched a video on one of the police websites a couple of weeks ago. I think it was police1.com, but it may not have been. And I think this was in Jersey, I'm pretty sure that it was, where a state trooper, a rookie state trooper, observed a couple of plainclothes armed men with a traffic stop. And he got out and saw that they were armed and hesitantly began to approach with his hand on his weapon. And those two men were detectives from another agency. And they got into a large screaming and yelling and threatening match, which I thought was childish, ridiculous, unprofessional, and dangerous when they had a vehicle pulled over with several suspects. While all this was going on, those suspects could have jumped out and killed them or took off or whatever. But it happens. And so these law enforcement agencies were not happy with each other. But let this be on the other side of the coin, and let that, you know, be an officer needs assistance call. Those same officers would have responded to back them up and assist. Yeah, occasionally, in the old days, and even now in some of the bigger cities, when the call goes out, you know, you've seen this in the movies and on TV. Unfortunately, it just puts out a negative vibe, but occasionally, one or two cops won't respond. They ignore it. They're too busy. Their radio's not working. But generally speaking, when a call goes out for backup, assistance, officer down, everybody stops what they're doing and immediately, code 3, lights and siren, gets to the scene, gets to the hospital, attends the funeral. Law enforcement funerals are attended by agencies from hundreds and hundreds of miles away. State after state shows up from every possible agency and department imaginable. And private security must begin to think like that. We must band together and support each other in training, in memorial services. I want to say I'm a little disappointed in what happened this weekend. And even with the memorial services, for those of you who are members and those of you who are followers and those of you who are consumers of our services, our news, our radio show, and everything that we offer. This weekend, we put out a news broadcast, a newsletter. It also went on Twitter, Facebook, and a number of other social media about a security officer who was paralyzed in an attack at a shopping mall in Iowa, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And we sent out a subsequent email and post letting you all know that we were going to begin immediately fundraising for this person because we know he needs a wheelchair. He's currently hospitalized, paralyzed from the waist down, and we're going to begin a fundraising event and begin to fundraise for him, and we wanted to hand deliver it, and asking for folks to contribute, asking for folks to donate above and beyond. This is something very, very severe. This security officer was jumped from behind, beaten, and left paralyzed. His company is not supportive. The mall that he worked at, not supportive. We talked to law enforcement today, the public information officer, very upset that a report wasn't made. They're going to look into this even further. But in the meantime, we have a man in the security profession paralyzed at a hospital, probably uninsured, who needs our assistance. And with a whole weekend of communication via social media, newsletters, so forth, breaking news alerts, even making some phone calls, we got a total, as of right now, today, a total donation of $5. We experienced the same type of response this year during our memorial services. It costs hundreds and thousands of dollars to drive, to stay at hotels, to pay gas bills, food, and other expenses relating to putting on memorial services. And only a couple of handfuls of companies and individuals contributed if every person, not just members, but if every person who listened to the radio show, received our news emails every day, who are consumers of our information, our services, contributed just $25 each, even $10, we would never have had to have a fundraising campaign for 3 months begging people to help us to be able to sponsor and put on these memorial services. And the same goes for this fundraising for this injured, paralyzed security officer. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to have my office send out a bunch of emails and newsletters asking you to contribute because, you know, you should already want to. The difference between a professional organization and a professional person and somebody who is just an employee has a lot to do with the way that they react, the way that they act, the way that they are. And this is one of those things. And I just, I don't know. We'll be right back after this message.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
You are listening to a...
David, this is a tragedy that should not have happened, a memorial service that should not be taking place, and victims that should not be victims. In a post-9/11 world, a naval base within miles from Congress, the White House, 7 miles from here, largely left unprotected, a terrorist target, a high-value terrorist target, completely unprotected. That can't stand. NRA is calling today for layers of security around our military bases. And the other thing we need to take a look at is all these brave men and women that are trained in firearms, that signed up to serve in the military, they're largely disarmed on our military bases. We need to look at letting the men and women that know firearms and are trained in them do what they do best, which is protect and survive.
This is similar. After Newtown, you were outspoken in saying that more security was the answer. This is what you said after that massacre.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
This was the Navy Yard. There were armed guards there, Mr. LaPierre. Does that not undermine your argument?
No, the whole country, David, knows the problem is there weren't enough good guys with guns. When the good guys with guns got there, it stopped. I mean, what really happened here? The mental health situation of the country is in complete breakdown.
And I do want to get to that, but let's just focus on the security aspect, because can it be this sliding scale where you do have armed guards there, but now there's not enough armed guards? And when it comes to schools, if only we had an armed guard and then we had teachers who had weapons, then we could stop it. I mean, where does it stop?
How could anybody look at what happened this week and say there was enough security there? I mean, there was one guy, a private security firm. God bless him. He ran toward the fire. There were six others there that were guarding. The Capitol Hill SWAT team was told to stand down. Where's the outrage about that? The radios didn't work. We need to turn 7 minutes response. We need to turn 30 minutes before they bring down the shooter into 7 seconds and 30 seconds. That's what we need to be doing, and that's what I'm talking about with armed response. There's not a homeowner in Northern Virginia that if somebody's breaking in their door would be satisfied with 30 minutes.
You just heard the president.
This is the president of the National Rifle Association speaking to Meet the Press. And in his opinion, and I'm, you know, I have to tell you, I know a lot about the Naval Yard. I know a lot about security in D.C. We do a lot of work in that general vicinity, and I understand how companies and government contracts operate in the District of Columbia. I have to tell you that in this situation, I have to applaud the NRA stance on this situation. Because as we brought this information to you last week and when the shooting occurred, many people still do not know that it was a private security contractor, a private security special police officer who first engaged the shooter at the Naval Yard. It was a private security special police officer in the District of Columbia who first engaged a man with a rifle 2 years ago at the U.S. National Holocaust Museum. It was a security officer, a special police officer in D.C., who first engaged an armed shooter at a business 2 years ago or a year and a half ago and was shot. It was a private officer who was shot in the head at the Naval Yard. And the reason why they couldn't subdue or, you know, get this man and under control is that they were undermanned, not poorly trained, because D.C. special police officers do have above average training, but, and they are armed, all of them, but there just wasn't enough officers on duty at the Naval Yard for the size of the facility. We, you, me, and everyone employed in private security and private law enforcement, we need to begin to raise our voice. And let people know that enough is enough. It's time for us to stand up as a profession and to welcome advanced training. Welcome the new training. Talking with someone today about Virginia recently expanding for private security the training requirements. They've now put in place a number of advanced firearms and tactical training requirements. They're even allowing private security to carry AR-15s as long as they go through certification. That's already in place in several states, and now Virginia has jumped on board. I don't agree that AR-15s is necessary in the average security world, in the average contract. You know, I can't imagine a security officer patrolling an apartment complex with an AR-15 over his shoulder. But I do, you know, my mind is quickly brought over to just 3 weeks ago when a security officer sitting in his vehicle in California or Texas was, you know, doing a report when two armed men, one with an AR-15, put the gun to his head and took him out of the car and held him at gunpoint, tried to steal his weapon and beat him up. I do know that 128 security officers were killed in the line of duty last year. How many would have survived if they were properly trained, equipped, and armed? As a security profession, as an industry that is growing, did you know that private security industry last year was a $386 billion dollar industry? Did you know that the U.S. Department of Labor and a number of other assessors of employment have announced repeatedly in the last 2 years that the security profession will continue to grow above other professions, other types of businesses, for at least the next 20 years? Is it that the whole world feels like they need to be protected? Is it that the whole world, you know, feels like since 9/11 they need security every place? Well, yes and no. That's not really, you know, crime hasn't just jumped, skyrocketed overnight. It's nothing like that. But what it is that more companies do realize that they're a target. More companies do realize that they have assets that need protected by professionally trained security officers. And there are more businesses understanding that they cannot rely on public law enforcement to provide security or even enforcement. And they're hiring. I mean, every day we see in the news, and we send them out in our newsletters if you read them, more and more communities, HOAs, and even towns hiring private security to conduct patrols, respond to certain type of calls. Why is that? Because there's not enough law enforcement, budgets are tight, staffing has been cut, and that is the revolution, evolution that we're in today. Many companies have long depended on private. How do you think G4S has grown to be the largest security company? They started in other countries, eventually buying some U.S. companies. But private security has long been the leader of law enforcement, investigations, forensics in other countries, and now it's evolving here in the U.S. So we, if you want to stay in this profession as an owner of a company, a manager, an employee, whatever it might be, get on board with the training. Get on board with the support of your fellow officer. Get on board with the benevolent services that's required. And if you're not already a POI member, and I don't mean just on the forums, oh, I get your emails, I'm a member. No, you're not. In order to be a member, you have to financially support. Why do I have to pay? This is a business that is for you and must be supported by you. Times are changing. As with the old adage, you are either part of the solution or part of the problem. We really want to encourage you to be part of the solution. Join POI, become part of one of our committees, help us in legislative processes, help us in our benevolent services, and most of all, take advantage of everything we have to offer. By the way, just before we go, all of our training, membership, and products now, you can get no money down because we offer, thanks to our financing provider, our PayPal processor, we now offer 6 months, same as cash and installment plans. There's no interest. Check it out at privateofficer.com. Till we see you next week here on the Private Officer Beat, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.
Thank you.